Get ready for Real Talk with Pasha B in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Real Talk with Pasha B. We've decided to do some hot topics.
And impromptu hot topics.
Impromptu.
Like literally, I came to Pasha's house to get some food. And then 2 minutes later, she's like, we need to do a podcast. I'm like, I'm just trying to eat, girl.
I did.
And the food was good.
Thank you.
Jerk pastas. Yummy.
Yummy from scratch with love.
And I felt all of that.
Shanika, it's been a lot of shit going on. But we talked for the last couple of days, and I think this topic is kind of going to resonate, and we can kind of allow this to weave into a lot of things that are going on with people's lives and our lives, kind of, sort of.
Our lives?
Well, just...
We're not talking about us. We're talking about them.
Okay, we're going to talk about them. Okay. Them.
Yes.
So, Cardi B and Offset, you know, it's been publicized this week that they have decided to separate after being together for about 4 years, married for about 3 years. And of course, social media is in an uproar in regards to, I guess, not letting this young couple live, not letting them have a life, be true to who they are. Break up because they want to break up.
To make up and then break up again. Right?
Hey, you know, sometimes that's how that shit go.
Yeah.
So, Cardi B went on Facebook Live and kind of in a nutshell tried to just die down rumors that there was an actual incident that got them to the point where she decided to file for divorce. So if you guys don't know, she's the one who actually decided to file for divorce. I think it was discovered. Kind of how some things are discovered where someone was perusing the webs.
Snooping
on the webs and found out that she had actually filed. She did say that she was going to come back and amend. It's what I heard. And not ask for child support, things of that nature. And so she went on Facebook Live to talk about the reasons why she decided to file for divorce. And in a nutshell, it was... she got to a point where they had grown apart. She didn't feel like continuing to go through some things that have gone on in their life. Nothing specific, nothing what I'm going to say she says the blogs have out there, such as alleged cheating, rumors of babies,
baby. Mm-hmm.
Things of that nature. Now, she did not dispute that he didn't cheat on her before. Mm-hmm. But she was like, you know, this time it wasn't about all of that. What she did say was she was tired and she decided that enough was enough. And she wanted to
be a free bird,
be a free birdie. And she actually did say bird. So with that being said, you know, Shanika and I talked about people being purposeful in life, people being proactive instead of being reactive in their life. And as you know, Cardi has been in, I'm going to say, a whole lot of talkings. People have talked about Cardi since day one, from Love and Hip Hop all the way to now. She does have a number one song out, WAP, right?
Yes.
People have something to say about that as well. So her getting a divorce, you are hearing from one end of the spectrum, well, what else did she expect to happen to her? Because she knew who it was that she married. And then on the other end of the spectrum, it kind of is, well, look at the type of music she makes. Look at the type of woman she is. Like there's no remorse for her, no matter how it goes. So listening to, you know, her live and just taking away or understanding her purpose for deciding to call it quits, I think she did a fucking boss thing.
And one of the things that come to mind, and I've heard you reference this many, many times, and that's, why is it that a couple have to fall out, get to the point where they hate each other, mm-hmm. before they call it quits? If you recognize that a situation isn't working out, go ahead and separate. And we don't have to be enemies.
And we don't.
We don't have to be enemies. We can both acknowledge that the relationship isn't working out and we can part ways. Amicably.
First and foremost, we don't owe anybody a fucking explanation. So for her to even come out and kind of, I'm going to say hush rumors, you know, neither here nor there. But the fact that she's saying there wasn't a thing, and if she's saying it now and it was, it is what it is. But I'm going to take what she's saying for face value. She's saying it wasn't a thing, and she was tired. She just wanted to be done and over with. And yeah, so we talk about someone not having to be a villain, because we live in a villainous society. Mm-hmm. So we talk about, or she's talking about, how she just wanted to be done. We talk about someone not having to do you so wrong to the point where you can,
that you wait that you till the person does you, so wrong,
right? Yep.
That they are the enemy.
That they are, or 100%.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that was a boss move on her part to recognize that the relationship wasn't going where she wanted it to go. They were on different paths, and to make a determination for her life that, you know what, let's end this
before
it gets to the point where, what'd she say, where you cheat on me again, or some of these
kids. Another child, a child was produced.
Yes.
Things of that nature. And the child, not, of course, from her. The cheating produces another child. Mm-hmm. So why are we as a society so hard to understand that concept of it's okay to walk away?
You know, I don't know.
Because I think we are living in a world, not in just 2020. I'm gonna say our generation, past generations, past generations.
Yeah, it's not just our generation. It's when not. You look at even coming up, some of our parents or aunts or grandparents. I'm sure each of us has looked at a relationship and say, "Why did you stay?" Because it's apparent that you're not happy. It's apparent that the children haven't benefited from you staying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing, people get confused with the children, staying for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas resource-wise, I know some people feel as though financially the children will benefit. Mm-hmm. But is it worth the emotional instability or dysfunction that you're causing in order to have what you perceive to be a financially stable home?
And we talked, you actually posed this question to me, and I think you may have posed it definitely to other people and maybe on another podcast. What about the products of people seeing relationships like that they have as examples of relationships? For example, children seeing their parents in a relationship like that, and how that bleeds over into how they then think a relationship is supposed to be, or how they react to people of whether the opposite sex, same sex, or whoever they're in a relationship with, friendships with, things of that nature. Identifying when enough is enough, identifying when bad is bad, identifying when you don't want to do this anymore and possibly could stop. I'm just going to say the generational cycle.
Generational curse
of your daddy did it, now you did it, or if you're the woman, your daddy did it to your mother, and now it's you're allowing yourself or another man to do that to you. We are a lot,
and let's not just put it on the man. It's some raggly women out here too.
It definitely is. It definitely is. From women who keep up mess in order to get a specific result. Women who manipulate the situation, they also manipulate the system. They manipulate circumstances. They manipulate children to get what they want. So yeah, that thing goes both ways, but people are living such a reactive life. And not being proactive about what it is that they want, don't want. And I think it's kind of messed up that Cardi's catching this type of slack or flack that she's getting from people because she decided to make a decision that I think if she was a man and made this decision, I think people would kind of be okay with it. But now because she's a woman and she's made this decision, they decided to have every reason or dig up something to say for it just not to be a good situation, for it to be a kind of, well, that's your fault. Regardless, that's your fault. So I posted something on social media at the end of the day, whether she made the right choice to be with Offset, yes or no, what she decided to do was make a choice not to be in that situation anymore. Why is that not okay? If we believe in second chances, if we believe in redemption, we believe in, not making long-term or permanent decisions based upon short-term situations, why is it that she's not able to say at this point in time, I'm good, I'm done?
You think maybe people are having a negative reaction because they recognize that she made a decision for herself that a lot of people can't make for themselves?
100%.
Pew, pew, shots
fired. Pew, pew. I think that's true. Mm-hmm. She did something that majority, and just think about it on the grand scheme of things.
And she owned it.
And we know that you're the official note taker, and we know this is impromptu, so you don't have any stats.
None.
But just think about, you mentioned, the sustainability of relationships, marriage, monogamy, all of this stuff. How many people do you know that are probably not in an ideal relationship? And when I say ideal, not mine or yours, generally speaking, ideal, and they're unhappy and they're not doing anything about it. Even if you were not to take people you personally know, let's say you were to say, even take social media. We know social media is biased as hell, whether it can be factual, exaggerated, underrated. But let's take a mixture of what you see in your personal life, professional life, social media, circles. How many people are taking the initiative to be proactive, whether it be from a relationship perspective, platonic or romantic, from a professional standpoint, anything that they're actually stepping up, doing, saying what it is that they want and they don't want, instead of reacting off of what the world is giving them or what they're getting from the world?
Yeah, I think the vast majority of people don't, and we talked about this earlier, so let me just go ahead and say, Passion and I had a whole conversation. We had a whole podcast before this podcast. but one of the things that we talked about before was people haven't even defined for themselves what it is they're looking for, how they want their relationships to look, the expectations that they have of one another. It's almost like people are just kind of going with the flow. Another thing that I noticed is that people focus too much on the emotional aspect. Just that warm and fuzzy feeling. And they get into these relationships, they start producing offspring based off a warm and fuzzy feeling. Then when reality hits, they don't have, whether it's the conflict resolution skills, the coping skills, all of these things, negotiation skills to work out the thing. And they stay in these unhealthy relationships and come up with reasons as to why they should stay, to justify the behavior, instead of just recognizing, you know what? In the beginning, I didn't do my due diligence to make the good decision or the best decision up front. So at this point, let me go ahead and make a different decision.
Let me back away.
Ooh, was that a mic drop?
It was. Ooh. It was. It, like, come on. Like, it's disheartening. The long sigh. Shanika, you know what the long sigh is for. Yes. It's fucking disheartening that people are not making themselves accountable, and they're not taking the initiative to be responsible for their shit.
All of that.
So you do a certain level of mentoring in your professional life, as having supervisory roles whether you agree to it, yes or not, there's always going to be somebody who's going to gravitate towards you as a mentor, especially when you're doing your job well, you're good at your job, things of that nature. And so I experience that all the time where people come to me and they want help. So for a resume, everybody's all the time, I'm like, send me your resume. And when I look at these resumes, sometimes I think people want me to do it for them. Mm-hmm. It's what I'm not going to do. Right. So usually if someone kind of, and it's different than having a resume that needs some help and asking those probing questions to kind of get you to a certain place. But someone sending you a resume that I think in 2020, and I always want to say that I think people should know certain things, but I know they don't. And I'm using the resume as an example. It's just
you've. That's like your second or third long side.
I know because so 2020 has been a fucked up year, as you know it, right? 2020 has thrown people, whether it be businesses or individuals, into loops. We've had to make an adjustment from podcasting, due to 2020, the change in the world that I'm just going to say. And I don't think that everybody's stepping up to task to some level, to adjust to the change of how life is to where they are, let's say, from a maturity perspective of their life, or just walking into their purpose of who they are. And sometimes the walking into your purpose is just trying some shit out. So trying out a new job, right? And I know that the economy is a little shaky, but for us, or for certain people who work at certain companies where there's a level of stability, I'm not sitting here telling you to jump from one company to the next. I'm not telling you to leave your job in order to start a new business, even though that is possible depending on where you are. What I am saying is that there are internal moves that you can make. There are new positions that you can apply for at jobs that will probably strengthen some skill sets or develop some that maybe you want to develop or you want to do. And some people are so comfortable in their fucking box that
And the funny thing is, I know several people who have transition into new jobs during the pandemic.
Better jobs.
Yeah.
So it can be done in a pandemic.
And so just to kind of bring this together, because I don't want you all to think that we're all over the place when we started off talking about Cardi B, but we're talking about just taking accountability for yourself as far as what you want, your desires. And we, you know, we use that as an example as far as Cardi B is concerned, but it applies in every aspect of our lives. So she was unhappy in the relationship. She made a decision to do something different. Some of you, not us, are unhappy in your relationships. Do something different. And we're not saying leave the relationship. Maybe it's counseling. Maybe it's having a mentor, a couple mentor, you know, something like that. If you're unhappy in your job, try something different.
And you know, and sometimes the different is just communicating what it is that you want. So half of us are not even putting out in the universe what it is that we want. We're not having a talk with the person that we want it from. So for, if it's about a job, have you talked to someone? Maybe not. It's not even your direct supervisor at some point in time, but have you got in contact with someone who's doing something that you possibly want to do and getting in contact with them? From a relationship perspective, have you had a conversation with your significant other about what it is that's not going the right way at this point in time? Or are you just sitting back stewing about whatever it is that you don't like? I think we're not taking the lead for us. We are being reactive. So Cardi decided that she wanted to be the lead of what was going on, or take the lead of what was going on in her life. She says she didn't want to deal with it anymore. She's having to deal with a lot of talk about her. And it appears to me that even her response, I don't believe that she had to respond, but her response, I think, is of a nature where she does care, you know, to a certain degree. And the caring may not be that you're talking about her. The caring could just very well be from the fact of, like, damn, I decided that I didn't want to be in this relationship anymore. Y'all can't get with me on that. Like, seriously?
Yep.
She admitted that he's cheated on her before. What she said was, I wasn't trying to stick around and let it happen again. Mm-hmm. I don't get it, Shanika. I don't get it.
You know, I don't know.
I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand how we have gotten so far, I will say, with certain aspects of our civilization. But the basis of being active in what you're doing and being responsible and being accountable about shit that happens to you, it's kind of like,
Well, I think it's let me just say, I think it's a couple of things. One, it's society's expectations. So okay. I think in general, people feel as though they should be partnered up. And if you have a child with someone, oh, we need to make this work. And mm-hmm. other people in your ear, oh, just stick it out. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what men do. He's in the entertainment field. Mm-hmm. This is something you have to contend with. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure she has people in her ear telling her that. Mm-hmm. Another thing, and this is just in general, not just specific to her, we haven't dealt with our own stuff. So going back to when we were talking about how people were raised mm-hmm. and how that's processed. So, and I give this example to Pasha all the time out here in these single streets, how men look at women. I honestly feel there is a segment of men out here who truly dislike women based on the relationships they have with their mother. Mm-hmm. And I'll pose this to the cyber world. How does a man process watching his mother trying to make a way? I'm not even saying she's being purposefully manipulative about a situation. She's just trying to make a way. And the child may see his mother doing things to get her bills paid. Mm-hmm. Not saying she's tricking, but you know, something like that.
It ain't tricking if you got it.
But just trying to make a way. She's in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And he's watching that. Mm-hmm. As he grows up, he may process that as his mother using men, being mm-hmm. manipulative towards men. Mm-hmm. How is he now going to feel about women he's now dating?
He could, and you know, it can go either ways. 50% could approach women in that same aspect with that same unattractiveness to women because he's seen what his mom has done. So he's already foreshadowing that, thinking that all women are going to act like that. Or on the receiving end of that, or on the other side of the spectrum, he could take that as, well, that's the norm. That's how women are. And that's what I have to do in order to deal with a woman.
Yeah. So that's out here in these single streets with dealing with people.
Is it only the single streets?
Stop, Pasha. Stop it.
I'm just saying.
It's just out here in the streets. It's out here in the streets.
We call it like we see it. You know what I'm saying? And it was just, I go back to something that I said, and I want to talk about this for a minute. If Offset had asked for a divorce, would there be so much outrage? Would people be posting on social media, you knew who she was when you got with her? So
I think they would.
I don't think they would.
I think they would, just based on the fact, because she was a stripper before. I think they would bring that up.
I think that there would be some people who would bring it up. I think he would get more high fives, like he moving on to, to bigger and better.
Yes, mm-hmm. In that respect. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he would be bashed by, especially in the manner that she's saying, I'm just done, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think if she had cheated on him, there is going to be the negative. Oh, you know, she was out there drunk and niggas, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. I think if he decided to just walk away and was like, I can't do this anymore, I think he would have been invited to the biggest party the next day, and given the most high fives, virtual and in reality, because he made a decision. He didn't want to be bothered with that anymore. But for her,
and she did it so respectfully.
I think it was.
She did it so respectfully because I believe she could have
went on social media
and bashed him. You know, we don't know what they've gone through in their relationship, but mm-hmm. I could appreciate and respect how she did it.
I can too. But obviously, grown and young see that.
And they're young. And I have to keep reminding myself. Uh-huh. She's like 27, yep. and I think he's 28, 29.
I think he may be in his early 30s. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. We're going to do the Googles on that. I think he's in his early 30s. But they're young.
So, and there's so many people who, in that age range, you know, I'm not even going to put it on age because I know some grown people who still dealing with the foolishness. But mm-hmm. I can appreciate them being as young as they are.
I think he's only like 28. Oh. So they're still in their 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate them being young and recognizing, you know what, this hasn't worked out. Let's go ahead and part ways and not have a falling out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can respect that. I definitely respect that. And mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, some people out there in the world will take note
mm-hmm.
and recognize what's working and what's not working in their life. And again, we're not talking about solely from a relationship standpoint, just in general. You know, I think all too often we sit back and we react to what's happening to us instead of identifying exactly what we want and kind of making decisions that gets us closer to those things that we've identified.
And we talk, I have to keep saying that. I know we keep saying we keep talking about this, or we talked about it because we talk about a lot of shit off the air. But identifying what it is that you want is the first thing that you should do before you intertwine yourself with someone else and potentially bring someone else's issues, drama, or someone's energy, whether that be good or bad, into the fold of your things. So if you don't have your shit together, you don't know what it is that you want, I'm not sure, first and foremost, how you can attract that.
First of all, who are you attracting?
What it is that you're putting out there.
Exactly. Dysfunction.
Dysfunction. So, yeah, I just want us to be more purposeful. I keep saying the word purposeful, but truth be told, like, you are the only person who truly has the responsibility for what happens. Most of everything that people do in their lives, they have control over. And sometimes the control is to even enter into something. I know we do not have control over how someone other person responds to you in a situation, but you do have control over putting yourself in certain situations and how you react in certain situations. And I believe that for Cardi, she acted in a manner that was the best for her. From the outside looking in, it seems like it was probably the best for the situation, but definitely best for her. And I think she tried to do it in a way where no one was a villain, even with, you know, doing the live. What I heard, and it was about a 13-minute live, I didn't hear bashing per se. You know, I did hear stating some facts. One thing that she talked about, which resonated for me with me, was if she gives information or if she talks to a blog, it's because she wants people to know her side of the story and not an assumption or not hear something from somebody
else.
To
quell the rumors, essentially. Let me go ahead and kill that real quick and tell you exactly what happened from my perspective.
And I think when people are talking about you, if that's the road that you want to take, you should be able to go out there and tell your story and set it straight versus having people put more negative energy out there about you. And half the time this shit isn't even true when you're a celebrity. So I respect her for that. And I know we wanted to do this podcast just to put that out in the universe.
Yeah, because I came over here for jerk chicken pasta.
She did.
Now I am on the podcast.
Now we're doing a podcast.
But again, the takeaway, we started with Cardi. The takeaway is, what are you doing to be purposeful in every aspect of your life? Are you taking the initiative to just outline your life and how you want it to go? Or are you just reacting to what the world puts on you?
And if you are doing the latter, figure it out. And sometimes it's just acknowledging and being in the moment. But figure it out, because you don't have to sit back and let shit happen to you. And it takes more energy to sit back and let shit happen to you and deal with it from a reactive perspective. When you have to deal with things from a reactive perspective, you usually only have a couple of options at that point in time. When you deal with it from a proactive perspective, you kind of open up some doors that you may not have seen if you're now dealing with this in your face and you can only go left or right. Sometimes being proactive, you can go left, right, backwards, forwards, fucking bust a UE if you want to. You may have more control over that. And again, like Shanika said, as the takeaway is, come on, just step it up and understand that you are responsible for you.
Step outside your box. So that was one thing we talked about off air. I shared with Pasha, and now share with other people out there who are listening. A lot of people who have influenced me in a positive manner, they are movers and shakers. So I surround myself with those types of people. I don't surround myself with, you know, back in the day, we used to call them foot draggers.
No, we still call them foot draggers, Shanika. We still call them foot draggers.
I didn't want to date myself, like foot draggers or people who just suck your energy dry. It's not beneficial. And I want to say, given our target audience, which is 30, 35 plus, like this halftime. This is halftime.
You know, you're putting shit in perspective, because I thought about that the other day. We at the cusp. Right,
we're approaching the top of the hill. We're very much so.
Ain't no more choo choo train. I think I can. Like, you should have thought some shit and done it. And if you haven't thought some shit and done it, let this podcast be.
Yeah,
what's going to make you thought some shit and do it? Because it's
the average lifespan, I think, is like 75 or something like that. But let's just say 80. So we're at the halfway point. So how are you going to spend the next few decades? What goals do you want to accomplish? How are you going to go about accomplishing those goals? What's your happy?
What is your happy? And if you are at the halfway mark of your life and you not happy,
what you gonna do about it?
Shanika, you done said a motherfucking word.
I'm dancing.
You done said a word. Like, truly, when are you gonna be happy? If you're not happy right now, and I'm not saying 100% happy, because nobody's 100% happy, but if you don't have more happy days than not happy days, At what point in time are the happy days going to be important for you? I don't know. I saw, let me, there was something that came up on the social medias today. And I'll say this was posted on Royce the 5'9"'s Instagram. Once you get a taste of peace, you'll cut anybody off to keep it.
Look, the story of my life. It feels so good. It feels so good. And again, I think people get so caught up in what society says you need in order to be happy. Society says, oh, you need to be married. Society said, oh, you need that brand new Mercedes. You need that 6-bedroom house and all of that. You really need to remove yourself, go into your little quiet space and truly have a conversation with yourself. What is it that you want? What is it that you need that feeds your happy? And incorporate that into your life on a regular basis. And oftentimes I think we get so caught up. Another aspect of it is I think we get caught up in the rat race. Wake up, go to work, come home, feed the kids, go to sleep. Like, that's the cycle of so many people's lives.
And that's not your purpose. That's not your purpose. And what you were saying before about finding your happy and finding your peace, also identifying the people that are not contributing to your happy or your peace. Because you only let motherfuckers in your life that you let everybody in your life that you want to. So the ones that are not contributing to your peace, because there's this thought process that people should make you happy. See, my thought process is you should make your fucking self happy, and others should not take away from your happiness. They should bring, they should be contributing to that.
You need to meet me at happy.
Meet me.
Or enhance or my happy.
But not take away from my happiness. Not take away. And not make me happy. That's not your job to make me happy. My job is to make me happy. Your job is to contribute to the happiness and damn sure not take away from it. Once you start to take away from my happiness, that's like if I'm at a 2 and you taking away 1. So now I'm at a 1. That shit don't add up. It subtracts. So no. Being responsible for removing people from your life that takes your peace.
And just to double back to what you said that I caught, and I just want to reiterate, nobody's responsible for your happy. And I think that's another issue. People are wandering around here looking for other people to fill that void, to fill their happy. If you can't make you happy, how in the hell you expect me to make you happy? I am not your entertainment.
Hello.
Not your entertainment.
Hello. Not.
And it's unfair for you to put that responsibility on someone else to make you happy.
Now that's a word.
To do something you can't even do for yourself. Let me put it like that. To expect someone to do for you what you can't even do for yourself. Drop mic, Shanika.
Hold on. Do I got a sound effect for you? I got something. What I'm gonna do?
A little new light up mix over here.
No, that wasn't the right one.
That wasn't the right one.
Okay. We're going to try that one again another time. But that was funny.
So, yeah. Hopefully,
Hopefully we haven't rambled too much.
I don't think we rambled.
I think we rambled.
We gave some really good nuggets. And hopefully folks marinate on that.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. It is September 2020. This is going to drop sometime in September. So it's or October. But I'm going to tell you, we recorded this in September. Truth be told,
September
we are at
19th to be exact.
We're at the last quarter of 2020.
We've been on punishment for 6 months.
We have. So what are you going to do? Well, we're going to challenge you to do something different so that when 2021 comes around, you've had some time to kind of reflect and be ahead of the game and do something different. Challenge yourself to do something different, damn it.
Explore something different, something you never did before.
And I'm going to tell you this, if you survive 2020.
You a G.
I think you could do anything. And being uncomfortable sometimes is the best thing.
What are they comfortable now?
I think they are they're comfortable in being uncomfortable. We talked about this. We did. Some people are comfortable with being miserable. They ain't gonna sit here and say it, but you know, when you have drama, drama, trauma, stress, anxiety, everything, when that's your norm, we talked about fight or flight as well. Mm-hmm. So when you're normally in this fight or flight stance, or you're stressed or you're uncomfortable or you're unhappy and that becomes your new norm, at some point in time, it levels out and that becomes comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. And so how do you adjust back, or how do you get out of, I don't say adjust back, how do you get out of that place? How do you switch from unhappy to happy? Because that transition is going to be hard as well. And I think a lot of us stay in comfort mode because it's even though it's bad, we stay in what's comfortable to us. So if you've been in a bad stance or a bad situation long enough, that becomes your norm. And at least, and let me not say comfortable, it becomes okay. You've dealt with that place. Mm-hmm. So for you to go outside of that, that's uncomfortable as well. Mm-hmm. So you rather stay in this bubble, stay in this box. Because if I have to go in this box with Shanika, that's uncomfortable to me. Even though Shanika may be doing the right thing, Shanika over there with the right, it's uncomfortable for mm-hmm. me to move that piece.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to talk a bit about how our inability to deal with our own stuff affects our decision making.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're not in a good place, how do you think that's going to impact how you make decisions in life mm-hmm. across the board?
Mm-hmm.
Your filter's kind of dirty. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to mm-hmm. replace that filter. Same mm-hmm. thing, you know, when you're in your house and you look up and you see the little filters. Oh, mm-hmm. that ain't kind of gray. It mm-hmm. needs to be clean. Mm-hmm. Let me replace the filter.
Mm-hmm.
We need to clean our filter.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to be stressed out, depressed, not dealing with whatever unresolved issues you have, your filter is dirty. So what are you attracting?
What are you going to
produce? Bugs and mites and
mm-hmm. and allergens.
Allergens.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then you wonder why. Well, how did I find myself here again? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you haven't dealt with whatever it is you have going on in your life that's preventing you from being in a place of peace. Mm-hmm. Dang. Look at here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I'm so glad I came over here for this jerk pasta, girl. See? Cause we done dropped some nuggets over here.
Jerk pasta and nuggets. truly, we are rooting for you. If no one else is rooting for you, I'll say we are rooting for you. Cause when you want to do better, you can do better. So as long as you want to do better, we're rooting for you. Like I said, if you can survive 2020, you can survive anything.
Mm. Yeah. And some of you have survived much more.
Yeah.
Than, you know, I'm not going to say this little pandemic, but some of you have really gone through some traumatic events. And guess what? And you're here.
And you're still here.
And you're still here.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I know we talk. Oh my gosh.
We always talk.
We do. But we talked about fear.
Mm-hmm.
And operating and having fear being that border, that boundary that doesn't allow for you to possibly get to your best self. And so Will Smith, you know, I credit Will Smith for a lot of things because I like his bucket list, you know, how he does things that pushes his fear. He does a lot of shit that I'm just not going to do.
Jump out of an airplane. I'm
not jumping out of a window, okay? but fear is what's paralyzing almost all of us not to try something that's uncomfortable. And I think if we were to operate and know that fear is a temporary place and understand the possibility of fear. What's on the other side of fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Half of us don't get to what's on the other side of fear because we don't get past fear. But if you get to the other side of fear and you're still alive, I guarantee you the thought of fear will not be as paralyzing mm-hmm. as we all internalize it to be, or all how we've been taught to be fearful of stuff. I know you told me about, you know, growing up and hearing people say family members may have said, you know, or just as a society, don't do that because of, or you know, it's a big bad world out there, or you can't do that because of X, Y, and Z. So those negative thoughts get planted into our mind to the point where fear becomes the reason why we don't do something, why we don't try something, why we don't experience something. And if you can survive working through your fear and getting on the other side, it'll probably work, whatever it is that you want, mm-hmm. that you're fearful of. It'll probably be a better outcome or a positive outcome. And even if it doesn't work, two things: you didn't die.
You didn't die.
And you know that that way didn't work. So try to fuck another way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That fear
thing. And yeah, we need to stop transmitting that energy to other people. And oftentimes you're just projecting on the other people that fear you have on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
I'm glad we did this.
I'm so glad I came over here for this German chicken pasta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We need to get this one out. See, a lot of things happen today where
I wasn't even supposed to be here, y'all. Can I send a shout out to my cousin?
You can.
Sean and her husband, Ronnie, they just got married. I was supposed to be in Thomasville, Georgia. Atlanta traffic would not let me be great today.
Mm-hmm.
So I made it. I didn't even make it to Macon. I think I passed by 3 accidents, construction on 75. 3 hours later, I'm still at exit 201 after 3 hours of sitting in traffic, and I just had to turn around. I was like, look, I'm not going to make it. And I turned around, Pastor called me, we on the phone, met up at the store. And when I tell you, so much came out of all of this that we're not even going to talk about on the air. It's like, there's a reason.
There is.
There was a reason for everything.
There is. And you know what? I know that this message is going to get to somebody and they're going to be able to sit back and process and get to an elevation. I know mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. because today wasn't supposed to happen and it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that what was put out in the universe is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm happy. My purpose has been served for the day.
And you found your Clorox spray you was looking for.
And I did. I've been looking for Clorox spray forever.
Y'all better stop hoarding all these products. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
You don't need a whole case.
You don't. It's you know, one will do ya. But yeah, this whole thing happened because it was supposed to happen. I believe in karma. So I'm glad it worked out the way that it did.
Yeah. I'm all dressed up.
She was cute. She was. And she got nowhere.
Nowhere. I don't know what's going on 75 South.
I think people have kind of adjusted to the new norm.
Oh my God.
Because the streets was busy today. It kind of was. It was, people are out there.
There are a lot of people out here in these Atlanta streets.
Yeah, they're moving and shaking. And I guess they've kind of come to, they've adapted to what the new norm is.
Look at you bringing shit together.
All right. Mm-hmm. And what we want for y'all to do is adapt, because it's you. This world is yours.
Who said that?
Don't play. The world is yours.
Oh,
it's mine. Whose world is this?
That one.
I hate Shanika's not a hip hop connoisseur. I freaking hate it. But we're gonna get you there, one way or another.
R&B. I'm R&B.
I know you need to put
a '90s R&B. Let's be specific.
Exactly.
I don't know the new stuff.
So we've come to the end of this podcast, Shanika. Thank you again.
Oh, Pasha, thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, y'all. We have given you all of what we have to give you today.
Today, but we'll be back.
We do. We hope you make some good choices. Shanika's quiet.
Look, if you need someone to root for you and help you through your process, hit up Real Talk with Pasha B. And Pasha, not Shanika, Pasha will talk you through this.
I got y'all. If you want it, I got you. But if you don't want it, I ain't got you, boo.
Yeah. Don't come with your janky resume. At least have don't. Something on there for her.
Don't. That's so wrong.
I'm just saying.
All right, y'all. Until next time. Peace.
Peace.
This is Real Talk with Pasha B.